Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. Crazy weirdom. That's a good term, maybe, instead of crazy wisdom. If wisdom doesn't include the parts of me that are buried, if wisdom doesn't include the weird parts, the parts that are buried, the parts that are dark, the anger, the shame, that carried or covered the anger that was buried and the addictions that kept me distracted with that shame, then it's not wisdom. It's just another bypass. So, you know, wisdom can't be crazy. I mean, a spiritual path can be crazy because look at what we're doing is we're disconnecting from life and relationship and looking for some salvation or redemption or awakening. And we can have those shifts or realizations, but if we don't deal with the unprocessed fear driving us, we don't get the end of suffering. The main duality is that we have, just like an iceberg, unprocessed emotions below the surface of the water, like buried anger or hurt or sadness, that fear and the fear of rejection, humiliation, the fear of losing people at the very core, and then everything at the surface is what arises. The stories, the narratives, the addictions, the depression, anxiety, chronic pain, spiritual seeking, spiritual methods, bypassing, all at this at the tip of the iceberg to keep us safe from what's buried. So wisdom, if it doesn't include, for example, buried anger, it doesn't include the authenticity. Wisdom has to be connected to authenticity and to the insights that come from finding your power with your buried anger. And authenticity is then connected to that power. And vulnerability isn't real unless it's connected to the other qualities. It could just be a safety mechanism, you know, just identifying with being hurt at the tip of the iceberg here in relationship, but because we're bearing anger. And it's just safer to identify with that hurt. Or angry at the surface, at the tip, and then we bury below the surface sadness or hurt. Or we bury everything. And all we have at the surface is just suffering, not much emotion, really. Maybe shut down, freeze, dissociation, addictions, habits. Maybe we stay at home a lot by ourselves, or maybe there's only just a few people we like. Maybe we disconnect from groups. We don't like certain people. We have triggers around others. See, this is all, this is how we protect ourselves. Separation. We create it from below the water. Surface of the water for safety and to get love and approval. And then at the surface here in life, we pretend like that's not what's going on, that there's no iceberg. And that we're all just seeking awakening somehow, that the suffering is not coming from anything that we're doing, nor is the seeking or the finding for that matter. But it's all just happening at the surface because we've buried emotions. And this and all of that at the surface distracts us just perfectly. The spiritual frameworks, the talk. Because the only thing that gets to it is when you get under the surface of the water and make the unconscious conscious. It's not about changing a bunch of things at the surface. That's a distraction because there's only one thing we need to change. And it's not about getting rid of anything. It's about adding something into awareness. The emotions that are buried, if they can be brought into awareness at the tip, then the suffering that's being created at the surface can go away naturally. Because it was only being created to keep us safe from the fear that we've in our bodies that's been frozen over time into now the sense of separation and deficiency and lack and all the existential stuff that goes with that, including, well, everything. From there, it's just a bunch of suffering. Once you have repression and you grow up unconsciously, and we're just in this place where we can't see it until you somehow get in your consciousness, oh, there's something buried here. The real duality is that everything I'm experiencing is just safer than everything I've buried. That's why it's buried. That's wising up in a new way. Where the East and the West, they come together. There's no division anymore. You see, the Freud and Buddha, they were talking about the same thing. They just had different methods and different words. And Freud was saying, you can't just be with what is. He was right. And Buddha was saying, you have to be with what is. And he was right too. You put them together, then you be with what really is. And most of what is buried. Thank you, Freud. We have to be with that too. Thank you, Buddha. See, there's no more division. When you get to the real duality, we just create these divisions at the surface, at the tip, to, again, distract ourselves. We got all these religions and all these things. We got KI now. Oh my God, if you drink the KI Kool-Aid, it's just something else at the tip of the surface to keep you safe. There's no Kool-Aid. You have to watch for trauma is what you want to do with spiritual communities. If you have anxious attachment, you might want to get into a cult. If you have avoidant attachment, you might be anti-cult. It has more to do with trauma and wounds from the past. Spirituality and our belief systems around it, and whether we have a spiritual ego and who we associate with and whether we're in a bypass and whether we're willing to acknowledge it, all has to do with really trauma, fear that's driving us below the surface of the water. And oh, finding is just perfect for that fear under the water, finding at the surface, finding meaning I'm awake now. I've discovered what I am. And then the conditioning finds yet another way to find refuge and safety through spiritual realizations and shifts, where the conditioning will say, okay, that's good. That's enough. Stay safe. And we can't hear that voice because that's a mind-body connection, this buried fear, that's something that never arises. So what we've discovered is that the frozen fear that's responsible for the sense of separation, that conditioning doesn't arise to awareness, nor does it arise to most any kind of spiritual practice or somatic exercise, because it's designed not to. Our greatest fears and our repression of emotion, those are buried. They don't arise, and yet they are mind-body connections. They're just like thoughts that we have every day. You have the thought, I'm sad. Well, you also have the thought, I'm angry, but you may have buried it. Or you have the thought and a feeling, I'm angry. Well, you may also be sad. You probably are, but you buried it. That's the duality. Or maybe you don't feel anything. Your partner said something, you just shut down. Maybe because you buried it all. Because we are emotional beings and we're sexual beings. And when we come alive to those things, then we awaken. That's the awakening, is through the human consciousness, through the emotions, the consciousness of all of those, integrating all of those for what our true self is, which will never be an ego, because only awareness can hold all the parts of ourselves that are buried. Only awareness can. Thank you, Buddha. Thank you, the East. But we have to get under the water and make the unconscious conscious. Thank you, Freud. Thank you, Peter Levine. Thank you, all the Western researchers. The world can come together now if we can just get to the main duality, not to come together to sing Kumbaya. That's just what anger repressors want. Come together beyond the perennial philosophy. Come together in true understanding that we've created these divisions for safety. We're a traumatized species. Separation is how we survived. We don't have to operate that way, but there has to be an intelligence, an emotional and spiritual intelligence that wakes up to what we're doing. We have to wake up at what we're doing in spirituality, though, because it's an avoidance, often, of what's buried, not unlike politics or drugs or anything else. When spirituality is used to stay safe, it does not get escalated up or held up in some way as something exalted. It's just another trauma response. But yeah, we do that, don't we? We hold it up. Why do we do that? Because it keeps us safe. That's why we do everything. I didn't feel fully energetically free until the parts of me that are gross, the parts of me that are dark, that are angry, came into awareness. And then the embodied freedom was there. But trying to be good, trying to be awake, trying to be spiritual, that's all repression. That's usually buried anger, but not always. A lot of it is, but you can't say always, because what we're finding is the hurt repressors that come here, they end up having buried anger too. And the anger repressors have buried hurt. But it's the way that it works is interesting, because we tend to repress one or the other more if we don't repress them all. And not seeing that ends up being the big miss, because like I say, what kind of wisdom can you have if you miss the main duality? Or if you think you've got it, but you just have a safer emotion that you think is the repression. What's under the water is critical to discover at the beginning of any spiritual path. Otherwise, what's under the water, the repression, drives the path into that avoidant spiritual path. which we used to call bypassing, but I wanted to change the word for myself because we need to be able to recognize it. Spiritual bypassing is this vague thing that me as a teacher, when people would say it, I'd be like, yeah, but fuck, I don't know exactly how to get to that because I was driven by the need for safety. I didn't know. So it was just, it had me bamboozled. But if you see the three signs, it's disconnection. Just means your body feels a sense of separation. You feel disconnected from other people, separate and from the world. And then number two, second sign, you look to alleviate that suffering. Ultimately to non-duality, but a bunch of different things, even drugs and people, relationships, sex, all that. But it fails because you have buried emotions. So number two, the sign includes you're looking to alleviate the suffering, but instead you just get more suffering because there's buried emotion still. Therefore, number three happens, repeat the cycle of avoidance. And so if you can see this, then we're all doing it. The question is, the people, practices, paths, programs, that your paradigms that you're choosing are being chosen from what's below the water until you make that conscious. And then the avoidance stops at the surface. But it takes skill, it takes context, and one of the safest things you can do is pick up a spirituality or a inquiry technique and just start playing around and throwing spaghetti on the wall. Because then what you're doing is just keeping yourself safe, because your system will not produce inquiries on its own, most likely that would ever get to buried emotions, because you're driven by the need for safety. The only reason I got to it is because I wanted to die. And the option of death felt lighter than the option of living. And when suicide feels lighter than other options, it's actually an option. So at that point, it felt like there was nothing to lose. And with my chronic pain, I just wanted to know if it was anger. And when I found it, it was like living in a dark well, and then suddenly there's a light at the top of the well. And I just started doing anger repression inquiry every day. And that light just kept getting brighter and brighter. And then suddenly, not suddenly, but at some point, there was no longer the well. Somatically, I mean, the pain. And that was the embodiment of that, that finally that area felt like presence too in my spine. And I realized, wow, you don't want to get to the root of suffering last. That's not a good thing to do. That's a very dangerous thing to do. And plus, I'd given up drugs, so I didn't have anything to medicate all that pain. That sucked. My recovery got in the way. So I had to take a few meds and then process that. But finally got below the water after a year and a half of trying to throw, by throwing spaghetti on the wall. Mindfulness, meditation, this inquiry, that inquiry, this question, this reverse inquiry. Sit here and try to get angry. Sit here and shout, go into my car, shout, scream, punch. Nothing. Soothe the pain, manage the pain. Rest with the pain, allow the pain. Don't do anything with the pain, distract your pain. Distract from the pain. No, it's all was keeping me safe. Everything at the tip. All the medical devices, all the yoga. You can do yoga that's very helpful. You can also do yoga that distracts you from repression. It's all that way. You can go to doctors who are really helpful. They'll tell you that you bury anger. That's why you're sick. You have other doctors who will mislead you. Teachers. Because we're at the tip of the iceberg. We're just staying safe. Why would we want to help you get below? We couldn't get love and approval anymore, right? We couldn't all stay safe together. By telling ourselves stories, like I'm awake and you're not. And you want to be like me. See, it's all ridiculous. We're afraid. We create those divisions. And any teacher who reinforces it, that I'm a teacher, you have to just be yourself. That's all. I use the teacher thing to avoid being myself. Now I'm just doing it the way I want to do it. Because making the unconscious conscious made me realize that I have this creative side that loves to express. And that teaching this work is just fun. It's fun as hell to express this, if you can imagine. And it just because I don't need your love and approval, I'm so glad that I still love sharing, because or the safety thing is not there. Like, I don't care what you think, and I can get angry. Fuck yes, I can get angry. And I can be loving and cry. I love that. I love that. That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it worth doing. And if you could do that in anything in your life, imagine that. You could help people, but it could also be anything. Look at those, the sky's the limit when you realize your potential was buried and you start working at that level. Thomas Hubel says that's our unrealized potential. He's right. We walk around ignoring that iceberg, though, and pretending like these things that we're doing at the surface are not driven by safety. All we get is more suffering. And we get to couch that other suffering in however we want to. Call it pain. Go to the doctor when it's buried rage. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. Please do. Officially, my word is keep going to the doctor no matter what it is you have. But I'm just trying to point to how you could sit with a therapist or a teacher like me 10 years ago, and we could sit and bamboozle the shit out of you, and we wouldn't even know it. Neither would you. Just by not being aware of what's under the iceberg, under the water, and teaching or helping from that, wanting your love and approval and having no idea about it, because we're still mad at mom and dad, but we never faced it. We don't even know it's here, or hurt, or really sad, but we've just become something that helps us avoid it. We're just helping you do the same thing. In my view, people should discern whether what they're doing is just number two, turning something like a path, a practice, a program, a paradigm, or a person into a mistress, which just means we're not going to get to what's real. So we're not going to end suffering. Whether it's heroin or meditation or inquiry, it's going to keep going, because the buried emotions chose that path or person or drug. They chose that. And that's why sabotage happens, because we choose it. It's like, oh, I found the right thing. No, I didn't. Huh. Why didn't that work? Because we're driven by safety and love. But if we don't go under the water, we don't know it. I've heard people say, well, God, he sounds like he knows it all. Like, all you have to do is go into your body, and this becomes simple, conscious knowledge. That we're all either angry or hurt and afraid, and we don't know it. We're just playing at the surface with things that are safer and calling it these emotional releases that happen. Most of them are just safer than what's buried. The spiritual experiences condition us to think we're done. Great. The drug experiences, they don't get integrated with great inquiry. It doesn't help us in the end. Trying to be done is part of the whole safety mechanism. Just like if I said I will never be done as part of the safety, it's all at the tip of the iceberg. But the real work is to make conscious what's right here, because most of what is buried right here in the body, this which creates all these stories and narratives and everything. Make the unconscious conscious. Bring Buddha and Freud together. Right? Awareness, of course. Buddha said, let it all be. And then Freud said, no, you got to make the unconscious conscious. So we got to do both. Recognize the present moment awareness as the ground, and then begin making the unconscious conscious through KI. And then we don't have to walk around with that iceberg and not know it. We'll continue to have the repression while we process for a while. And how long that will take depends on our skill level, how much we resist doing the work the way that we've developed it. Because our bypassing nervous systems like to default to safety, therefore bypass, when really what we want is freedom, which includes safety, but being driven by an unconscious need for safety and then believing things and identifying with things because they're safer than what's buried, well, we don't want to land anywhere there, because then spirituality just becomes, well, now I believe this, or now I have this on my resume. I had that big release of all this. It doesn't matter to the unconscious, as long as you're safe, that's all that matters. So if your spiritual releases and experiences, if you can believe then that you've dealt with it all, fine. That's like taking drugs. It helps to numb you out. And the pointers to presence, you keep listening to that, guys. I'm telling you, I became conditioned not to go under the surface of the water. And I am part of the reason in the world. I'm so glad that I didn't become super popular as a non-dual teacher that points in a way that ignores buried emotions. Because I would have a bigger amends to make. But at least I would have the audience that would maybe listen. At least now it feels like I'm kind of starting, and Dan and I are starting from the ground up. This is a whole nother topic, and we're considering even open sourcing, or partially opening source, so to speak, on the repression inquiry, and making the basics of it available free, or at a very low cost, because we know that you'll want to learn it the way that it's supposed to be done, and you'll see how sharp the tools are. And we're thinking about that, so stay tuned. See, the thing about this work is, though, is you need mentorship. Because it's like people walk into clarity calls with me. We're on Zoom. And because if they haven't taken the repression test, for example, highly recommended before our talk. The repression test at repressiontest.com, it tells you the first beginnings of what you bury. You can't be sure, because you have to go deeper, and we'll go into the conversation together about what does buried anger look like. You can find out from AI chat, by the way. Good AI chats will show it to you. They'll show you the kinds of suffering that buried anger creates. And also, excuse me, I'm trying to open my little toolbox for my microphone. Buried anger creates a lot of different forms of suffering, including anxiety, addiction, chronic pain, a lot of different issues. Also, there's digestive issues with both anger repression and hurt and sadness repression. Go to AI chat, educate yourself before you come talk to me. You'll appreciate the talk more if you understand, for example, that what you're experiencing is linked to a particular emotion that could be buried. And then if you take the test, it's like linking up something that just turns on light bulbs for you. But only in the mind, and that's a good place to start. Because as we talk about it, then I'll ask you about your life. And I'll say, in what way are you walking around not knowing that the suffering and the ways of alleviating, it's like one and two of the avoidant spiritual path, are in your life? So one, where's the disconnection? Where's the separation still? Which includes an inauthenticity with people. You can't feel and express what's true. Can't be yourself. Include all of it to see if there's sign number one, is there suffering and separation? And your answer is going to be yes. That's easy. Even if it's a lot less than it was, don't land on, I'm just not suffering as much, because we suffer to stay safe. So repression is there. But number two is where we want to go, because you're doing things like, if you're like me, that are not getting too buried emotions, but you might be fooling yourself into thinking that you're getting to them. And I did that too. I'll show it to you. It's very easy to not see because of the mechanism of safety and the landing mechanism of repression, so to speak, which is just like belief, self-protective belief, including around our own spiritual path, our realization and our practice. I had to call myself out because I wanted to die. So, you know, you may not want to die yet. And so you're here staying safe and getting love on earth. And I came back from the dead to tell you, guess what? If you hadn't figured it out already, we can't be free by just being with what is, because that's the tip of the iceberg. Nor can we treat something like depression as if it just snuck up on us, like a cloud that comes through on the day for no reason. It's there to keep us safe. Or chronic pain, like, why is my knee hurt? Well, because you're still angry at your dad. That's why. Most likely, go check in and see. You're anxious all day. Oh, I'm sorry, you're hurt and you're angry, but you bury that and anxiety is safer. Go look at the science. It's there, and there's a lot of it. You're seeking, that's a form of addiction. There's science behind it. It keeps us safe to seek. Spirituality, that's a trauma response. Unless you get to buried emotions, you're staying safe and getting love. All this is humans. These are humans, me and you. We didn't get our needs met. Now we're looking for that. And we'll turn to spirituality to get our needs met. Or we think transcending those needs. But they're buried with our buried emotions and they're driving us on the path. That's why we turn our practices into a mistress. And you can meditate for 30 years and you're still on an avoidant spiritual path. Avoidance of what? The buried emotions that don't arise in meditation or in mindfulness or even most forms of inquiry. It's all safe because we're driven by that. Don't believe me. Don't drink the Kool-Aid of safety. You don't get anything other than safety out of it. Don't just be against me. It's staying safe that way by creating division. When you hear something without investigating it for yourself, you rob yourself of freedom. You argue in favor of more suffering when you don't want to look under the water. But of course, that's what you want. From below the water is to stay safe. So you can tell yourself at the surface that you want freedom or to heal, but you know that on some level, you're afraid of that. Go to that level. Make that conscious, and then there's freedom. It's not in one experience, though, because people come to me, and they're so innocent. They'll say, well, I'm just waiting for that one shift to be done. And I'll say, so what? So I'll be free. I say, for what? And we'll finally realize, so I don't have to feel that stuff that's buried, and I don't even know what it is. Because it's buried. And it doesn't come from the mind, because we find it in inquiry, in direct experience. Things like wanting to find peace, love, compassion, and empathy driven by rage under the water. And yet we've made spirituality into those things. Let's go chase the love and the light and the bliss from that rage that we could never express to dad. Why don't we just get to the rage that we buried? And then there's the love, light, and bliss. Because the only darkness was what we had buried. I think there's a ghost that, no, I did that, knocked over my little thing. I'm not intending to traumatize you by the extra sounds in the room. But at least it's not Oliver. He has not barked yet. And I don't edit him out if he does. So I always say, come, if you have PTSD around sounds, don't turn it up too loud. There's just occasionally a sound that comes through. I want to take some time here. I'm at my 30-minute mark, which means I'm going to end it. I want to do something I've never done. I've done a little bit of it. I want to thank the people that keep listening. I'm doing shorter social media. I feel like I can say it more concisely, and I just hit one topic and play with it and then go. Doing 1-minute shorts and then written posts and then these short podcasts, and I'm saving all my time to work with people. I'm doing it in this 90-day authenticity intensive, which is, so think of it, 3 months. And I love that time period for a number of reasons. I'll go into it. There's some psychology behind it, actually. And what I'm talking about is just starting. It's all about starting with a spiritual practice that gets to the root of suffering. If you put all of your energy into starting and just a little bit of inquiry each day, you already have a habit within a few days. And then we expand that habit into like getting below the water. And then you're off and running on your own. It's like a KI on steroids is this program. It's everything I wanted to do before, but my own repression was holding me back. I frankly kind of, I didn't make fun of coaches. I wouldn't do that because I was too much of a people pleaser. But I had internal judgments of people who would like try to coach people. It wasn't just the criticism that, oh, well, they must be codependent. But it was like, well, if they would just show those people that they are their awareness and stop, you know, encouraging, seeking, and processing. Meanwhile, I'm coming from a very avoidant place. Having already dismissed and avoided my buried emotions, that judgmentalism was coming from a refusal within me to deal with what was buried. And even, you know, telling people, I would have told people in some way that we were already getting to buried emotions. This is the thing I'm seeing. Before you come and talk to me, I want you to think about this stuff. That here's the things that I keep seeing on the avoidant path. This might make you want to come talk to me if you hear one of these. I keep hearing one. Again, emotional releases or spiritual experiences or shifts are the answer. No, they keep us safe. And they help us become conditioned into thinking that we're done. So we don't ever have to feel the buried emotions. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I'm done. And that way I can just tell everybody else or let everybody know and then be the perfect human being that's not authentic. Like the ideal awakened person or good person or teacher or helper or kind, loving. But it's all coming from, for many people, from buried hurt, anger, and fear that has not come into awareness yet. So also I'm seeing that people think that, again, the current, just to recap, the current practice that they're doing is somehow definitely getting to the root of suffering. But that's your mind, because if you get to the root of suffering, well, the suffering goes away consistently. Authenticity just consistently comes forward energetically for you in your life at a way that your nervous system can handle, because it's in control of it all, the conditioning is. And so you're just making that conscious, and changes are just happening naturally because the barriers to your authenticity are just being removed. The root of suffering is being made conscious. So that's a very particular thing that happens. And I say, if you don't feel the sense of separation transmuting consistently and the benefits happening in your life consistently, stop. You're not doing KI. We know we've developed it in such a way that it will give you consistent benefits, both inside and out, if you're skillful. And we have to be that. We have to have boundaries as teachers and helpers. Previous codependent anger repressors, we have to have boundaries and say, that's not our work. When you get the two markers, that's KI. You don't get the two markers, you're throwing spaghetti on the wall, or you're doing something and thinking to stay safe, thinking that you're getting to the root. But the suffering that continues is your teacher. The avoidance contains its own sabotage, increased addictions, shutdown and freeze and disconnection. You just have to pay attention at the surface to old habits continuing and then how that shuts you down from going under the water. But if you keep going with it, that's why 90 days works so well, because the first month is a pretty intensive getting to know each other, frankly. Actually getting to know each other quickly in the beginning. And what I'm doing is, if you're ready for this, I don't want to scare you. But for people who are avoidant, establishing an everyday rapport first. And then showing you how to process and break through that so that that's comfortable for you. And then we have this amazing relationship where there's no barrier to our communication. And then we get to the processing to talk about all the patterns in your life that you can't currently see, that are driven by what's below the water, to make those connections and act right things out for you. So you can see things that aren't obvious at first, and then just bring inquiry to all of that. It's like having it, this, what this is, because of this iceberg thing, what Dan and I did in the hot tub is really how people should work together. But you can't do it. Like, we can't sit each of us with somebody for 2 or 3 hours a day. And plus, it was codependent because we weren't doing it on our own yet. And that was our repression, staying safe and relying on each other. But what we learned there is that there's something that happens when two people get together and the walls break down so that you can really show somebody or facilitate somebody or mentor them or, you know. And now I'm finally doing what me and Dan set out to do in the beginning, but with boundaries and, but so much higher skill level. We're 8 years later. We now have KI sharp tools. So come and talk to me if that sounds interesting to work with me, 90-day intensive. And I'll give you all the details. There's more time with me. There's pretty much direct access with limited boundaries, some boundaries just for, I have days off. But otherwise, that's what I want to do is help people. So, and people are very good about understanding container and boundaries. And this has been a really good experience so far. So come talk to me. There's a link. It's free to come and talk to me in the description. If not, if you're not quite ready to work with me, sit tight. Just take the test at repressiontest.com and then you'll get on our newsletter. Thank you.